Hey, it's Melissa. You know, a little help goes a long way when you're rebuilding your life after the death of your spouse. That's why we've put together some amazing free resources just for you. They're packed with guidance and the answers you've been looking for. So let's begin this journey of renewal together. Head over to widowsquad.com, click on freebies, and unlock these powerful tools. Your journey to a brighter future begins here. Now let's get back to the show.
You're listening to the Widow Squad podcast, the show that helps widows create a fulfilling life after loss. Join hosts Jen Zwink, Kim Murray, and Melissa Pierce as they share expert tips, resources, and advice to help you get a grip on your grief and learn how to thrive. If you're a widow, this is where you want to be.
Hi, this is Kim Murray. Before we dive into today's episode, I'd like to tell you about our free guide, How to Have a Better Relationship with Grief. Grief is hard work. It takes more energy than you ever imagined, and working through the range of emotions when it comes to widowhood is exhausting. And that's why we want to share with you this amazing free resource to help bring some much-needed peace back into your life. Go to widowsquadpodcast.com and click on Free Resources for this in-depth guide on how to have a better relationship with grief. That's widowsquadpodcast.com, Free Resources. Now, time for the show.
On this week's Widow Squad podcast, we are chatting with Michelle Collins. Michelle is a widow, an author, a grief and wellness coach, and a yoga therapist. And I want to dig into all of that. First, if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about your widow story.
Sure, of course. And thanks for having me, Melissa. I was married to my second husband, Glenn, and we got married after meeting each other 90 days. It was both of our second marriage, and we just fell in love like mad, crazy people. And he asked me to marry him a week after we met, which, and it was just so fun and joyful and passionate and amazing. And there were challenges, of course, with he had three kids, I had three kids, and merging the families. At one point during our marriage for 6 months, we had six teenagers.
In one house?
None of them were all there at the same time. But there were some episodes of five or four for sure.
That's a lot.
It was busy. Mm-hmm. And then after about a year and a half into our marriage, he started really struggling with some mental health issues. And just before about 2 years, in 2016, in April, he died by suicide.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Michelle.
Thank you. Yeah. So that was the start of my current life. You know, I feel like I am Michelle 2.0 after that occurrence. Yeah. I reevaluated everything in my life and put all the effort and energy I had, which was very little energy after that, as you can imagine, into healing. And then I found that I could be useful to other people and helping them heal. So I was already a wellness coach and a yoga therapist at the time of Glenn's death, and also a lifelong learner. I love to learn. I have so many certifications and hundreds of books, and it just never ends. I'm starting in February. I'm starting a 2-year mindfulness meditation teacher training. I already teach mindfulness meditation, but I just want to learn. I want to go deeper.
Right. So. You definitely are going deeper. Well, tell us a little bit about Michelle 2.0. I'm sure there was a journey to get to that spot. If you could walk us through maybe 6 months to a year after Glenn died, and to get you to the place where you are helping others, supporting others, you're writing books, all that, if you wouldn't mind sharing your journey to Michelle 2.0.
Sure. And that's, I really like to share this because I'm hoping that it will help other people. Those first 6 months were awful. I couldn't believe how much pain I was in, and I couldn't believe how difficult the environment made it. So it was almost like there were two things I was grieving. the you know, Glenn's death. And then I was also grieving everyone's reaction to it. I lost friends, as I'm sure many of your listeners have experienced, some fractures in relationships that are so surprising and so not helpful to your healing. But when someone dies, everyone's under so much stress and pressure in their grief that they don't always act on their best behavior. And there's finger pointing and guilt and anger and a lot of shoulda, coulda, wouldas.
Yeah, insensitive comments, probably.
Mm-hmm. A lot of insensitive comments. And with the added stigma that suicide has, it's really, really a traumatic time. And then after about, I'm going to say 3 or 4 months, I developed PTSD and started having, flashbacks and dissociative episodes, and really was struggling. And instead of doing the things that I knew would help, like yoga and breathing and mindfulness.
Right. Because you're a healer and you're in that.
Right. But the pain was so great, I just turned to drugs. Mm-hmm. I drank and I took any drug that anybody showed up with, and I just wanted out of the pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Understandable. And you want to shut it out, shut it down, not feel it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just couldn't. And Glenn and I partied a lot, so that was part of my life at the time. We were big partiers in a joyful way, you know, with going to concerts and stuff like that. It was really fun. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the life I had at the time. And then about 6 months after he died, I was getting really sick with all the poor choosing of behaviors. And a friend of mine came to visit one day. He was actually the guy that introduced me to Glenn. So he had kind of a vested interest in my healing and probably a little bit of guilt. And he threatened to put me in rehab because I was so sick and so just using so many chemicals for self-soothing. And I had, at that time, my original therapist had sent me to a trauma therapist, and I felt, instead of just going to the trauma therapist because I had PTSD, I felt abandoned by my first therapist. So I was in a really dark place. I didn't want to go meet someone new and talk about this suicide. And so that was the first 6 months. And then I started going to the trauma therapist, and then I eased off of the drugs. She helped me. And then I found mantra meditation, and I had a friend whose husband died by suicide who called me for help. And I was able to talk to her, even though I was sure I couldn't help her. So all of those things combined started me on the road to actually healing.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey there, this is Kim Murray from the Widow Squad, and we've got something special in store for you. It's time to unlock a world of healing with our incredible gift just for you, the How to Have a Better Relationship with Grief Guide. Picture this: expert tips and practical strategies all bundled up in one comprehensive resource. It's like having a supportive friend by your side guiding you through the ups and downs of your healing journey. Now here's the best part. It's absolutely free. Ready to dive in? Simply visit widowsquad.com/resources and your free guide awaits. It's time to transform your relationship with grief and discover the strength within you. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to take control of your healing process. Head over to widowsquad.com/resources and grab your free guide today.
Oh, okay. So because you probably, when you were talking to your friend whose husband died by suicide, and you, I wonder if you, when you realize, like, I have some wisdom here, or I can maybe help. So I don't know how, but did you feel like, oh, huh, I could maybe do something with this? Or is that the kind of the start of you moving towards getting your grief coaching certification and writing your books?
Well, not directly, but I mean, it happened in a long and winding way
right.
after that.
Not the next day. You're like, boom. Right. Yeah, right.
But that was the first indication to me that my experience could be used for good, that it wasn't just, okay, now my life is hell because my husband died by suicide and there's, you know, loved ones who aren't talking to me and, you know, my social life is a disaster, you know, all of these things that happened afterwards. So, yeah. It was the start of the understanding that I might be able to use my skills and experience to help people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The books that I'm writing that actually will be published.
Correct. Yes, they will.
Yeah.
Because I've already read an advanced copy.
Thank you. Thank yes. you so much.
Amazing.
The came from really not from my heart, I have to say. It was not this altruistic, oh, I want to help people. You know, I'm going to write a book because writing is hard if you're writing about your story. Mm-hmm. I mean, authors have every different experience. Like some authors are like, oh, in 3 days, I wrote this novel, you know, and then some people agonize over a book for literally decades. I mean, it's, and for, I'm somewhere in between. It is hard to write a book.
Oh, yeah.
But what happened was on the day I spread Glenn's ashes a year after he died, and I'd spread them a few times, but that was a day that I was really, my heart was wide open and I felt really connected to him and nature. I was on a beach in Hawaii where we had spent some time. And I got a message from the universe. I mean, as you hear about people getting signs and, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing, I literally heard a voice that said, you have to write a book about how to survive your spouse's suicide. And that was April of 2017. Mm-hmm. And the book, which morphed into two books now, is published January of 2023. So it was a long and winding road to get the books out.
Oh yeah.
But I did it.
Yeah. You didn't write just one book. You wrote two books. So I read your book about surviving the loss of a partner by suicide. I didn't read the companion book. Can you just tell us a little bit about why you decided to create two rather than one?
Yeah. Again, it's not, you know, it was a message and it was, I was kind of irritated, actually. The night I turned in the manuscript to the publisher, my, you know, where I'm signing off on it, okay, it's time to go into design, it's time to go into the formal editing process, all of that. That night, I went to bed, right? It's off my plate. I have, you know, I figured I had a few weeks off because of the, you know, not having to work on the book. That night, that same voice that same messenger from God or the universe or spirit, soul, whatever you want to call it, says you have to write a companion guide. I wasn't even asleep yet. So the next morning I got up and contacted my publisher and I said, I have to write a companion guide. Mm-hmm. And she said, yes, you do.
Yeah.
So basically I took, and the reason, so this was the motivation, obviously I know to listen to that voice, but the reason that it was so important is that a lot of the pain and trauma that I experienced from Glenn's death, like I was saying earlier, came from the fallout. It came from people being around me and not knowing what to do. Like you said, being insensitive. And I believe people are truly good-hearted, but they just don't know what to do. So this book is a guide for those who are supporting people who are suffering from suicide loss.
Yeah, I just got goosebumps when you, I always pay attention to my goosebumps, but when you said that, because, you know, you have those secondary losses, you've lost people who you thought might be supportive to you, family members, close friends. And, you know, I don't know what to do or say, like, even though I understand pain and loss and grief, I wouldn't know or I would be like stumbling all over myself. Rather, you know, mm-hmm. so you kind of either have insensitive comments or you have folks saying absolutely nothing.
And now that I'm moderating grief groups, I'm seeing that it wasn't just me. So many of the grievers that I help are, you know, double whammy, you know, mm-hmm. they're insult to injury because, and especially with widows, because the in-law family doesn't know what to do. Like, mm-hmm. well, are you still part of our family or you're not still part of our family? Because, you know, our child is gone or our sister or brother is dead. So who are you?
Right.
You're the former spouse or, yeah. you know,
right.
and
our connection
really
is gone.
Complicated.
Yeah. Glenn was the connection between you and,
right.
and his family. And, where is it?
Yeah. yeah. And so, and I think that it's really complicated and mm-hmm. people don't know what to do. And so many of these widows that I talk to have been ghosted by their in-laws.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big secondary loss.
Oh yeah.
It's really huge. Sad.
Yeah.
Because then you're all of a sudden you're alone at the holidays, right? Because not only did you lose your spouse, but your in-law family's like, well, who are you? I'm not inviting mm-hmm. you.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking. It's really heartbreaking. Yeah. Double heartbreaking.
Hey there, it's Melissa. If you're a widow who's consumed with loneliness after your partner's death, we get it. That's why you'll want to watch our free presentation, Kicking Loneliness to the Curb, where we share some widow wisdom about managing one of the worst parts of losing a spouse. Go to widowsquadpodcast.com, click on free resources for practical tips, personal insight, and encouragement on dealing with the loneliness beast. That's widowsquadpodcast.com, click on free resources. Now, let's get back to the show. Well, I'm glad that you had those messages or that support from the universe and your publisher to split it out into two different books. When I read your book, your story, I mean, was interspersed throughout, but it was also like a guidebook. It was like you had actual steps or things mm-hmm. to do or how to's almost. And it was a guide, but also your story. So it really got to know you. Your journey and also some real actionable steps to kind of move through and move forward in life. And I thought it was just incredibly, incredibly helpful. Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's the things that work, in my opinion, you know, the best ways to practice. And it's not only to practice, it's not only practices that will help, you know, activities, experience that will help you recover from grief, but it's also educational to help people understand what they're going through is normal.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel good. It's uncomfortable, but it's grief. And mm-hmm. grief is like an injury. It's just an injury to your heart, you know, an injury to your emotions. So when your friend says, hey, let's go to this party a week after your spouse dies, you know, they wouldn't ask you to go hiking a week after you broke your leg.
Right.
So I try to make it very understandable that this isn't something you can just get up and go back to work or whatever. I mean, a lot of times we have to physically be, but that doesn't mean you're healed, and that it's really important to take the time and make the effort to heal so you can live fully again.
That's so well said, because you can't see the injury. You can't physically, you know, you can't see the scar or the broken leg or whatever. And there's so many of us walking around in deep, deep, deep pain. So that was just a beautifully well put.
Thank you. Yeah, I actually write poetry. And one of the poems that I wrote about this situation is called I Wish I Had a Body Cast. So people could see my pain.
Yeah. God, goosebumps again. Wow. Those are really good. I mean, I would love to read that poem. Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll dig out the poems. I thought about putting a poem like throughout the book, like maybe to start each chapter, but the poems are so, they just feel separate to me. Maybe that's the third book. Poetry someday.
Right. That's the third one. Yeah. So you mentioned that you facilitate grief groups. So are you still very active with yoga therapy and your grief and wellness coaching?
Yeah. Yoga therapy is yoga at any level, and it's usually helping people recover from or work with an injury or an illness. Mm-hmm. So when people say, oh, I can't do yoga because I'm not bendy enough, it's not that. Some of the people in my classes, my group classes, aren't able to walk. They're in wheelchairs, and they still do yoga. It still supports your nervous system, your immune system, your overall health and well-being, no matter where your body is. Mm-hmm. You can do yoga in bed. I did yoga therapy to help a man recover from a motorcycle accident. And when I first started working with him, he couldn't move at all. He just reclined. Mm-hmm. And, by the time I worked with him, and I mean, he worked hard in other modalities too, but just a couple months and he was walking. It was really amazing. So yoga therapy also takes into account your emotional state. And, if you're an anxious person, then I design our sessions to be calming. If you're sort of in a depressive state, I design the breathing and the poses around being more energetic. And mm-hmm. so it's really different than going to a yoga class at the gym, mm-hmm. which I don't think is a bad idea as long as it's right for your body.
Right.
And then the coaching, the grief group modification
facilitation. We're using big words.
Facilitation. Yeah. Well, I was going to say moderation. So I got the first part right.
Yeah.
That part I'm doing, not privately. I'm doing that through David Kessler's, grief.com, group.
Oh, okay.
So he has a grief group called Tender Hearts that if you need a grief group, I highly, highly recommend. They welcome all grievers, which I think is so important because sometimes like if you lost a friend, or a cousin or a pet, or even if your friend's alive, but you're estranged.
Yeah.
It's called disenfranchised grief. Where you feel like you don't have a group of people that you're grieving with because like the family closes in and you're not part of the family, or maybe you knew them at work and they have a separate community or something like that. So it's a really great organization. I highly recommend it. And all of the moderators went through his grief educator training. David Kessler's grief educator training, and he worked with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross mm-hmm. and on the stages of death and dying, the stages of grief.
Yeah. And I think he's written several books too. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And his most recent book is called, I think he might be having another one right around now, but is called Finding Meaning.
We talked about this in the Widow Squad last night in our book club.
Did
yeah.
You?
I think we were talking about books that we wanted to read. After we finished the book that we just did. And so that was one of the books that came up. Yeah.
It's an excellent book. I have so many post-its marking pages in that book. And it informed my book so much in all my work.
If I can ask you, what support did you find most helpful? And then on the other side of that, what did you wish you had more of, or what was something that you felt you were lacking in support?
Right. Yeah. And that's all in the second book, mm-hmm. right? The supporting a survivor of spouse or partner mm-hmm. suicide. What would have been, the list is so endless. Just more compassion for mm-hmm. myself and, for and from others. Everything was just so stirred up and everyone's emotions were just so high that the crying was great, but there was also anger and disbelief. And of course, everyone's saying the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. So when I look back on it, I think I did get a lot of support on the other side. Those first couple weeks I had, you know, one of my friends started a GoFundMe. Most of the money went to his first wife and kids, which, mm-hmm. you know, is appropriate. I got a little bit for groceries and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I had help from the TAPS, which is a organization that helps people who lost people in the military.
Right, because Glenn was military or former military,
yeah.
correct?
Glenn was mm-hmm. retired, yeah. And different organizations, there's a local one called Returning Veterans Project, but I didn't find those organizations right away. So in the immediate, it's just my friends that were around, and they were really great. And a couple of my daughters too, very, very helpful and supportive. And just right there with me, you know, helping me answer the phone, helping me get to the funeral home. I mean, things like that. I could drive those first couple of weeks. I was too, you know.
Right. You shouldn't be behind a vehicle because they're making just right? No, totally. It's right. like nobody should be driving after this. Yeah.
I couldn't figure out how to put my socks on, much less, you know, I couldn't figure out how to get out of bed, much mm-hmm. less, figure out how to do anything.
Right.
So I did have good help those first few weeks, you know, and through his, I did have a memorial service for him. And then it kind of fell off as it does. And so, you know, there's the other side of the coin, which is, you know, the grief doesn't end. After people go back to their lives. Mm-hmm. In some ways, it just starts. So I highly recommend, and I write about this in my book, to have just keep checking in.
Yeah.
It doesn't go away, you know, and then there's the first birthday and the first anniversary and the first holidays. It's so pronounced at mm-hmm. those anniversaries. And then the second one. And every year on his birthday, right? Every year on your anniversary. So just keep checking in. It's 6 weeks, you know, mm-hmm. it's just not enough time. And so I think that if I had someone who was educated and knew, you know, TAPS is so great. They send me a card on his birthday, you know, because they know that I'm thinking of him mm-hmm. and, yeah, it's really things like that every year. There's not going to be an end. That's not going to end.
Right. Oh, that's really supportive. Yeah. It's almost like, you know, if you have a memorial service, everybody should be getting a copy of the companion guide that attends. You know what I mean? Just so like they can look through. And it's like, I don't know what to say. Oh, it's probably on page 59 or, you know, or just being knowledgeable and aware of like, this is great that you get to go home to your normal, quote unquote, normal life. Person who's left behind is still in deep, deep pain.
If you put the effort in, it is a growth opportunity. Mm-hmm. Every challenge in life can be seen as a growth opportunity. And I tell a story in my book that it's just a good illustration. So when I was 10 years old, I fell off a swing set and cut my leg on, there was an exposed bolt, you know, how that little plastic bolt covers, it right. was off. And so I cut my leg and it was a pretty good cut. It was a couple inches long and all the way to the bone. It was pretty gross. And I was very upset because I'd never had stitches and I had to have stitches. And so when I was 10, I was pretty tiny. Not that I ever got very big, but I was really small when I was 10. And now my shin is probably twice the length it was then, maybe close. And the scar, although it's still very pronounced, is a much smaller part of my leg. Mm. So I kind of think of that as a visual image of what happens to us in grief. It's still there. Scar tissue doesn't grow. It's not going to change, but we change, we mm-hmm. grow, and we build our new life after the loss. That doesn't mean leaving the loss in the past. It's going to come with us. It's part of us. Mm-hmm. Just like my scar, that scar is always going to be on my leg.
Yeah.
But I grew around it and I learned that I learned to love it, actually. I'm kind of a scar lover now, because it shows that we've been through something and survived it and grown through it and matured and become more of who we are.
Yeah. And you're also taking the next step of helping others move through it. Oh my gosh, that's beautiful. Great visual. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt like, and I know this isn't true for everyone, but I feel like if I am able to sit with people in grief, if I was able to call my friend 9 months after Glenn died and offer her some support when her husband had died just the day before, if I can do that, then I need to do that. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean everyone has to do that. That does not have to be how you find meaning in your loss. It could be just finding a reason to smile every day. It could be just getting out of bed or not getting out of bed. It could be, you know, just being compassionate with yourself and your feelings.
Yeah.
That gives your partner's life meaning.
Yeah. And just doing the best you can in that moment.
Yeah.
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 Oh, well, I loved our conversation. I love that we live in the same city and that we've actually met.
We can have coffee in person.
I know.
It's so amazing.
It's been really cool to meet you virtually and in person. Before we go, what's going on really good right now? And then also where's a good place where we can find you?
Yeah, what's going on really good right now? It's hard to think of anything other than my books, but I am, you know, I have clients that I'm helping with, and it's not just grief. It's any challenge. And so I'm spreading, healing tools, mindfulness, yoga, breathing, all these things that really help people through difficult times and also increase resilience. So when the next difficult time comes by, it's increasing your resilience, your skills.
Yeah.
To deal with challenges. So I feel really, you know, that's a really good thing in my world to be able to share those practices.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm still teaching a couple yoga classes online besides doing yoga therapy with private clients. So that's kind of fun. And you can find all that information on my website, which is inhabitjoy.com. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn and all that will be in the show notes.
We'll share that in the listener notes, but folks listening or maybe driving.
Inhabitjoy.com. And I also have an Amazon authors page. So you can see the two books that were released on January 26th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So talk about the future.
I know. And
then I have a few other books that are also all that I contributed a chapter to. So they're group authorship books and fascinating stories from amazing, strong people about overcoming difficulties. One of the books is mostly written by people who are yoga teachers and yoga therapists, and they're amazing books. So you can find those on my Amazon author page just by looking it up by my name, which is Michelle Ann Collins.
All right. Well, we'll share that all in the listener notes. And I am just so thankful that you're doing what you're doing. And how you're showing up in this world is just beautiful. And I can't wait to get to know you and hang out with you.
Yeah, me too, Melissa. It's been great. Seeing people in 3D is such a blessing.
Oh my God. I know, isn't that funny? Like 3D. Woo. Yeah. Who knew?
Yeah.
Who knew? All right. Well, take care. And I just wish you so much success with your books. I think they're really going to change people's lives.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Hey, it's Jen. If you've been searching for a place to connect with like-minded widows to build friendships, grow your confidence for doing hard things, and inspire healing after loss, we invite you to join the Widow Squad community at widowsquad.com. This special widow membership is made up of widows just like you, learning how to move through grief in healthy, self-affirming ways to create a life to thrive in. And we're doing it together. Go to widowsquad.com to learn more.
We hope this episode of the Widow Squad podcast has left you feeling supported, encouraged, and empowered. Remember, you're not alone, and there's a community of widows ready to welcome you into the Widow Squad membership. And if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast platform. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, take good care of yourself.